At Tanagra, when the walls fell. This is Dan Owings coming at you another time for Lower Road Radio with my co-host, as always, Jason. How you doing today?
It's good. We got a morning recording.
Yes, this is abnormal. So let us know what you think, or don't. If you like it, tell us you like it.
We don't want to hear negative feedback.
If you don't like it, yeah, keep it to yourself. We don't want any negative feedback at all.
I already feel like the energy might be a little bit higher.
Why is that?
Well, we've been doing it at 3 in the morning. Like, yeah. We're both kind of tired and wore out. It's like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Like, now it's like, you know what? I've had some coffee.
Mm-hmm.
We dropped the kids off at school.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm feeling pretty good. I've already had my coffee. So, every morning, the kids, one of us usually do the junior high morning route. And anyway, we leave at about 10 till 7 is right when you need to be heading out there. So I normally wake up around 6 o'clock, unless I got to get up earlier for some reason. That's my normal 6 o'clock I wake up.
Yeah.
My son has been wanting to wake up at 5 in the morning, which I'm okay with, by the way. I don't care if he wakes up.
Is there a reason?
He just likes his time in the morning. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't like to feel rushed.
What time does he go to bed?
9:30, okay. Something like that. You know, 9:30, maybe 10 sometimes, but... Which I'm okay with. If he wants to wake up, that's
it's
fine
on
with
him.
Me. His bedroom is right next to mine.
Yeah.
He has an alarm. Every morning, all week long. Actually, not just all week long. For a long time, it goes off. He has this very annoying alarm. And it'll go off for 10 minutes straight, nonstop. And he won't wake up.
Yeah.
He'll just sleep through it.
Yeah.
At which point, I finally get up, walk into his room, turn on his lights, and yell at him. Like, Levi, get up, all right? Turn off your alarm. Now I'm awake.
Yeah.
So I've been awake since 5 in the morning.
Oh, that's nice.
Not because I wanted to, necessarily, but because his alarm woke me up, and he just slept through it. So, and then eventually he kind of slunk, gets out of bed around 6 o'clock anyway, and I'm like, all right, that's it. Like, you got to figure this out. If you want to wake up at 5, that's fine, but you actually got to get up.
Now, if he set his alarm for 6, would he still sleep through it?
That's a good question, but by then I would be up, and it wouldn't bother me.
You would wake him up.
Yeah, I would just wake him up. It wouldn't bother me. So, it's the whole...
No, I gotcha.
Yeah. So, you know, I was a little perturbed, but I said, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and get up anyway, put on some coffee, read a book. Yeah. I had a good morning.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Another good thing about this morning is that I have been listening to, and we don't have this in our... notes to talk about.
Oh my gosh.
But
you're going off track.
I'm going off book. U2 has a new album out, and I've been listening to it. And I listened to it this morning when I've been driving around. And I will say, I love U2. Specifically, Joshua Tree is the best, but you know, some of the older stuff and some of the stuff in between. This album is really good. Specifically the last 4 songs. I absolutely love it. So for what it's worth, I give the U2, it's called Songs of Experience. It's pretty good.
Okay. So, I don't care.
I know you don't.
But I'm not honestly, I'm not a big music guy.
Right.
I just don't care.
Yeah, I know you don't. So that's it. There you go.
Well, thanks for bringing it up.
Well, there might be somebody
talking
out there.
Talking about things I don't care about.
There might be somebody out there that says, hey, you know, do I want to get the new U2 album? Or do you want to, and I would say, if you like U2... It's specifically the older style U2. It's a bit of a throwback.
So you like listening to a variety. Like, I like a variety, but I latch on to certain things.
Yes, you do.
Like, the newest album that I've discovered
was
Mumford & Sons' Sigh No More, which was...
That was a while
9 years ago.
Yes.
But that's like the newest album where I'm like, oh, I like this album.
Uh-huh.
I think that was the last time I discovered
it. You gotta try stuff out. There's so much good music out there that you would love.
I'm sure that there is.
Uh-huh.
Flogging Molly, I latched onto some of their stuff. But everything, I'm dated. I don't know anything new.
I know you don't.
We hop in the car, we start driving, kids turn on the radio, they're singing all these songs. Mm-hmm. I don't know any of them.
You don't know them?
No.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like a lot of new music. I don't like most pop music, things like that. But I listen to a lot of music. And I'm always searching for something new. I'll listen to an album, find an album, and I'll listen to it for like... a week or so, you know, and then I'll just kind of be done with it. And now I'm like in search for new music. I'm always searching for new music.
Do you also do that with food?
Yeah.
For instance, like you go to a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
you try something new or do you get something like tried and true?
I'm going to try something new.
Okay.
I mean, not that I would never get something I hadn't had before.
Right.
One of our favorite restaurants to go to is, we love the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
And we always get the avocado egg rolls.
Right.
As a, because that's my favorite thing in the world to eat. Avocado egg rolls at the Cheesecake Factory is literally my favorite thing in the world to eat.
Okay.
And so I'll always get that because it, I just love it so much. Yeah. And then I'll get something else. Like, we'll share that as right. an appetizer, and then I'll get something else.
So, like, when we go to, like, Texas Roadhouse, uh-huh. which is different than Logan's.
Sure.
They're different. So, Texas Roadhouse has their, like, chicken tender things. Uh-huh. They're breaded with, like, a sweet type of bread. It's okay. not, like, crispy. Sure. It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go there, that's what I get. Because I don't want to stray from it.
Right. You
like,
know.
I know I know. Like this.
Okay.
I don't want to spend $20-$30 and not enjoy this experience.
Right.
So I feel the same way with music. I know what I like. I'm not going to stray away from it.
Okay.
It says a lot about who you are.
I think so.
You're just not happy with anything.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm dissatisfied.
You're dissatisfied. Searching. You're always looking for something better.
Okay.
Because you're not happy with what you got.
I am always looking.
Me, on the other hand, I'm happy with what I got. I could live listening to Mumford & Sons, Sign No More for the rest of my life.
I just love new experiences. So,
yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
I like the same thing over and over and over.
Well.
I wake up in the morning, turn on Looney Tunes. It's been the same Looney Tunes for the last 50 years.
I'm okay. All right. Well, you're not 50, so.
Yet.
But when you are. All right. So what do we want to get into this morning?
Well, huge shout out to Cousin Chris.
Cousin Chris.
He caught up on the episodes.
Thank you.
No, the response is you're welcome. He should be saying thank you to us.
You think now so?
He has great content to listen to.
Okay. So unfortunately, Chris can't hook us up.
Not with the athlete.
Like, the athletes don't stay at his hotel.
Right.
Which is what we wanted. But We might end up going there anyway and just spending, you know,
just hanging out
4 or 5 days in Arizona, hanging out with Cousin Chris.
Play some golf.
Play some golf. It would be fun to go during spring training, and then we could go to the games and stuff. But so that's that.
Chris is a huge Bengals fan.
He's a very big Bengals fan. I mean, it's not uncommon for Chris's Facebook status just to say, who day.
Yeah.
And by the way, who day think they going to beat them Bengals?
Anybody who plays them.
Just, I mean, the AFC.
Except for the Browns.
Yeah, everybody except for the Browns.
Would you rather be, I mean, if you could start from scratch.
Yeah.
Bengals or Browns?
I've said this before. I'd rather be a Browns fan. Now, I can't.
You've already gone down the Bengals road.
I'm a Bengals fan.
Right.
I watched the game on Monday night.
You're wearing a Bengals hat.
I'm currently wearing a Bengals hat. And I know that the Bengals are better than the Browns. And they have been for the last, whatever, 15 years or so.
But going 8-8.
Right. Is not exciting.
Is not exciting.
Yeah. Marvin Lewis has been the coach, I think, since 2003. He's the second longest tenured coach in all of football behind Bill Belichick.
Right.
He's been there for a long time. Chris seems to think we need to move past the Marvin Lewis, Andy Dalton era. I would agree with that because Marvin Lewis, although he's been very successful in the regular season, his winning percentage is like 700 something or something like that. In the playoffs, he's been, I think, 14 seasons. He's been to the playoffs 7 times, and he's 0-7.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's bad.
Yeah,
that's bad.
Here's the thing.
More frustrating, I think, than just really stinking every year. Because one of these days, the Browns are going to get good. It's going to happen, and it'll be awesome when they do.
Yes, it'll be exciting.
Yeah.
The high end for the Browns is greater than the high end for the Bengals.
Excitement, I think so.
Enthusiasm, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It means more.
Yeah, when the Bengals finally win, it'll be like, yeah, okay, finally.
Finally.
I guess, you know. But it won't be the same kind of like.
So Lewis needs to move on. Nobody questions that, right?
Two things. First of all, I think they.
These are separate issues. Dalton, because I would argue they should hang on to Dalton. Because here's the thing. Honestly, who are you going to get better?
Right. I was watching.
He's a mediocre.
Dalton is an enigma to me. Like, I watch him, right? And I was watching the game on Monday night. Went with my friend Brett to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay.
And we watched, the first 3 quarters and then went home. And I'm watching Andy Dalton. And as I'm watching him, I'm like, man, like, he can make all the throws.
Yeah.
He he shows flashes of like of a really great solid quarterback. Yes. Like yes. I'm trying to think of who I could compare him to. Like I don't think anybody would compare him to John Elway or Joe Montana.
No.
But like as far as like a really really good quarterback, like a Steve DeBerg maybe?
Was he really really good?
I think he was pretty good. I think he was pretty good. I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody who's like just not quite Hall of Fame, but like very, very good.
Like on the edge of it.
Yeah. And I don't know. I can't think of anybody right now. But I feel like Steve DeBerg was there.
Like Carson Palmer.
Sure.
Carson Palmer's pretty good. He's not a Hall of Fame guy.
Right.
I've always liked Carson Palmer.
Yeah. Well, anyway. I mean, because I feel like Carson Palmer was in the same boat. Like you couldn't win the playoffs. I know.
But that's one. Andy Dalton, Carson Palmer, these guys are the same.
I feel like the high end of Carson of Andy Dalton would be Kurt Warner.
Oh God, that's pretty high praise.
I know.
He's not a Kurt Warner. Okay, so like if you letter grade him right now, from scratch.
Like today.
Today.
Uh huh.
Letter grade him. Not coming out of the draft or as a rookie.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah, Andy Dalton.
As an NFL quarterback.
As an NFL quarterback, not potential.
Is a B.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I live with a B.
Yeah.
I'm happy with a B.
Because you got Fs.
Well, as a Browns fan, yeah, I got Fs.
Yeah.
We're failing as quarterbacks.
Right.
Every year, we have another two or three quarterbacks that fail.
Hey, I hear good things about DeShone Kizer.
Yeah. B is above average.
Uh-huh.
I think Andy Dalton is slightly above. I would make B minus, but that's slightly above average.
Well, all I'm saying is I watch him play, and I see the quality, but then when it push comes to shove, he can't win. And maybe that's not his fault. Maybe that's Marvin Lewis's fault. You know, maybe that's not Andy Dalton's
fault.
Okay,
so to do this. Would we both agree Big Ben is probably an A minus?
Sure.
Okay? You switch Dalton and Big Ben.
Yeah.
What is the result?
Do
the Steelers win as many games or do the Bengals win?
I don't know about as many, but I think Monday night, the Bengals win. If you switch Andy Dalton and Ben Roethlisberger, I think this game because it just happened.
So you think there's that big of a difference between? Okay, I would almost argue it's not that big of a difference.
Well, it was a close game.
Yeah,
I'm not if the Steelers would have won by 20, then no, I would say no. But it was a really close game, and in a close game.
We're talking about the overall health, like the picture of Cincinnati and the picture of Pittsburgh. That's tough to say.
Yeah, it is.
Are two completely different things.
Yes.
Pittsburgh has health.
It's a winning organization.
It's a winning organization. Mm-hmm. The culture is just, they've had three head coaches going back to 1970.
They're the St. Louis Cardinals of the NFL.
Yeah, they're consistently good.
Yeah, they don't win the Super Bowl every year. They might not even win as many Super Bowls maybe as the Patriots, you know, but just very good always.
Very good always.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all, year in and year out, a B plus.
Yeah.
Occasionally they have an A.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally they might fall to a B minus or a C plus, like maybe bordering on the line of average.
Yeah, I guess.
But they are above average year in and year out.
As opposed to the Bengals.
As opposed to the Bengals.
A culture thing. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. You switch Dalton and you put him on that culture of winning. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think Andy Dalton can win.
Maybe. Because he can make all the throws. I just don't know what's going on. I don't understand. I do.
Because the team stinks. They have no discipline. Marvin Lewis is a horrible head coach.
Yeah.
And there's a new wave of young coaches coming in. What's this guy in the Rams?
McVay?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a new energy, a new wave of these younger coaches coming in and just transforming teams.
Yeah.
So for the Bengals, now's the time. Cut ties with Lewis. Uh-huh. Go get a young stud coming out of college or, you know, some offensive coordinator, some other team.
I do like the fact that they've stuck with Lewis this long because that's the Browns' problem. One of the Browns' problems.
One of many.
This idea that you got to get a new coach every two or three years, you know. They've stuck with Marvin Lewis through good years and bad years, and I do appreciate that.
Yes.
But that being said, I think it's time I think it's time to go.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer. Eh? Bring in Urban. What do you think about that?
I don't know. He's not an NFL guy.
He's not.
And I would be happy to get rid of him as a Buckeye.
Who are you going to bring in?
I don't care. Chip Kelly?
No.
I would.
There's the list of coaches that I'd rather have above Urban Meyer is very small.
What's the guy? He's at Washington now.
Yeah, Mike Leach.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I would like Mike Leach.
I would love Mike
Leach. Just for the press conferences. Yes, obviously. Well, that goes without saying.
Did you catch that one I shared on Facebook?
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Talking about committees.
Mm-hmm.
So as a listener, if you haven't seen that, go to the Facebook page. Just scroll through the last couple of days, and you'll find Mike Leach's rant on committees and picking the college football playoffs and all that stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah. All right. So, Cousin Chris, thanks. Or you're welcome. And that's what we're saying.
He's saying thank you for letting me in on the show.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You know what that's from?
No.
Moana.
I've seen it once.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. So that's that. I guess from there, we can either talk about college football or we can stay in the NFL and talk about the Giants for a second.
Let's just stay with the NFL for a minute.
Okay.
Eli is going to start this Sunday.
Yes.
Why?
Because Ben McAdoo's gone. Ben McAdoo is the one that decided to bench him. Now Ben McAdoo's gone.
Why did he get fired?
Why did Ben McAdoo get fired?
Yeah.
Because he's a bad head coach, and then he decided to bench Eli Manning, and they obviously thought...
No, listen. If the ownership... If he was that close to getting fired,
mm-hmm.
the owners absolutely wanted Eli to sit.
You think that was an ownership decision?
Listen. McAdoo took the blame. He took the fall. He's the fall man.
I totally disagree.
No, it's not. Because, listen, because he announced ahead of time, we're sitting Eli.
Yeah.
And if the owner and management disagreed with it and McAdoo was that close to getting fired anyways, they would have fired him before and said, no, we're starting Eli.
No, not necessarily. I think the owners could have looked at it and said, okay, this is your last chance. If you guys win on Sunday and if you look really good.
You don't screw up with history. It's like... A guy with a no-hitter going into the ninth inning. He's finishing out the game, and you just pull him. You just yank him.
So why do the owners want him benched then?
They're done with Eli. The owners are done with Eli. They're ready to move on. Because they're seeing the end of life with Eli and saying, he's got, what, two or three more years? And we're years away from turning this program back around because we stink. We stink out loud.
I disagree.
Eli will play somewhere else next year.
Yeah, he will.
He will not play in New York. I'm telling you, the owner and management, they're done with Eli. No.
To me, it looks obvious to me. It looks like Ben McAdoo, well, first of all, nobody could argue Ben McAdoo is an awful head coach.
Yes.
He might be a good coordinator.
I don't know how he got the job in the first place.
He's not good. But it seems very cut and dry to me. Ben McAdoo is a bad coach. They're not winning, and the Giants are on the edge of firing him anyway. And then he announces that he's going to bench Eli and put in the dude from West Virginia. What's his name?
Geno
Smith. At that point, the owners say, all right, this is your last chance. This was a big decision. You know, we'll back you if it works, and if it doesn't work, you're fired. And it didn't work because, of course— And they fired him, and now they're like, bring back Eli, let him finish out the year, and then we'll move on.
Yeah,
it seems very clear-cut to me.
You're far more innocent. I'm telling you, stuff goes behind, you know, behind closed doors, stuff goes on.
Yeah.
That, you know, most fans couldn't handle.
Yeah.
The truth, I'm telling you, that's an ownership decision right there, 1,000%.
Well, speaking of New York, speaking of things happening behind closed doors... Steinbrenner, what's George Steinbrenner's son's name? Hank? He's got a couple sons. Who's the one running the show?
You know, I'm not sure.
Anyway, he had made a statement that he definitely wanted a new manager who had managing experience.
Yes.
That he had made that clear. That's what he wanted. So something happened behind closed doors that changed his mind because all of a sudden they hired Aaron Bleepin Boone to be their head coach, He went straight from playing to the broadcast booth. I like him as a broadcaster. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And of course, as a Reds fan, I like the fact that he came up in the Reds system and all of that stuff. But something happened that changed his mind. Do you believe that Aaron Boone is going to be a good head coach?
I do believe Aaron Boone is going to be a good head coach.
And why would you think that?
He's a third generation ball player.
Okay.
He grew up with it. His dad grew up with it. His grandpa grew up with it.
Right.
They're baseball guys.
Yeah.
And he's a baseball guy.
Yeah.
I would have 100% confidence any team to hire Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going back. There's a new wave of coaches coming right now.
Yeah.
For years and years and years, it was like the old boy network. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to go through the system. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to pay your dues. You got to come up through the minor leagues, whatever. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a whole wave of young, fresh coaches coming out there. Some of them will succeed and some will fail.
You know who wanted the job?
Who's that?
A-Rod.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
People seem to love A-Rod now. Like, like it's turned on him now that he's become the analyst host guy.
Why is it that guys go into the booth and all of a sudden people forget, like, how bad they were? Or it's like, yeah, he wasn't a great coach to begin with. And do you remember the last three seasons? He had losing records all 3 years.
Yeah.
Which is why he was fired or quit and went to the booth. And now all of a sudden, like Herm Edwards.
Yeah.
Herm Edwards is not a great coach.
I don't know.
He's not. He's a great motivator.
Sure.
And he could probably fire up a team at halftime or pregame.
In college, maybe that's all you need.
I don't know. Herm Edwards is old school.
Yeah, he
is. I mean, he's old school.
I think he probably works better in college than he would. His shtick wouldn't work in the NFL anymore.
No.
But I think you could make it work in college, especially at a secondary school like Arizona State, who you could be good, but you know, you're not like some major powerhouse. I think that's probably about as good of a spot for him as he's going
to
find.
I can't believe he landed it.
Yeah.
Like, that's absurd to me. That's a fairly good program.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Jake Plummer.
I mean, they're in a good conference. You'd think if Herm Edwards was going to get any job in college football, it would be like at Akron. You know, some.
I don't know.
Smaller division, smaller school.
I would say a major conference, a middle-of-the-road major conference team like makes Vanderbilt. Sense to him. Well, I think that's Arizona State. I think major conference, they're in the middle of a major conference. Like Purdue. Yeah. Like, I don't know, Kansas State. You know, something like that.
For them, it's a splash. Mm-hmm. They're going to sell tickets.
And you know, I think he'll be a good recruiter.
He'll be a good recruiter.
And that's about, I don't know, over half of the job.
He needs to surround himself with young people who can relate to kids, because he doesn't.
Well, if he's smart, he will. If he's smart, he'll surround himself with like tactician type football guys to kind of help him along with the college game, and young guys who can relate to the other young guys. And I think on the recruiting, I think his thing is going to work with on the recruiting trail. Like, he's talking to parents, and I think parents are going to be like, yeah,
spiel will be like, we're going to raise them up to be men,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to teach them how to live life.
Sure, yeah.
And football's going to be in the process.
I honestly expect him to succeed there. I really do. And by succeed, I mean be better than they are now. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to be, you know, in the college football playoffs or anything. But I think they'll do better with him than they did without him.
I don't know. Did you see his, he doesn't know what the mascot is?
That was hilarious. Now, the next day, he claimed that he was just joking around.
No, he was dead serious. You go back and watch the tape.
Yeah.
Because he's like, the reporter's, this is Todd with the Devil Times. Where are you located?
Mm-hmm.
Right here, sir, where we cover your college. Yeah. Devils. Well, I'm a Christian, and I'm a Catholic. I don't mess with things like that.
Watch out for those devils.
Watch out for those devils.
Those devils.
Sir, do you know that you're the Sun Devils?
Well, he didn't say that. I wished he would have.
I know.
Yeah. Because what the guy said was, he's like, well, there's going to be a lot of devils around. You know?
Yeah.
You know, he kind of was trying to help him out, but just kind of let him
flounder. Oh, my gosh. That was so great.
He had no idea.
That's what I'm saying. I think Herm Edwards is out of touch with reality. I don't think he knows anything.
Yeah. Apparently.
Like, when I was in high school, they brought in one of the old coaches from like 20 years prior.
Mr. Shock.
Yes. And they introduced him. This is Mr. Shock, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's forgotten more about basketball than anybody in this room will ever know.
I'll never forget that. I remember when they said that, and I remember thinking, is that a good thing?
Well, my thought was, I think he's forgotten too much.
Yeah.
Like, he's gone over, he's past his prime. Like, he's not there anymore.
He's good to bring into a camp.
He's got short shorts, and he's just dribbling around the gym and just talking to kids. And I'm like, I don't even know what's going on right now. I don't even know.
Well, time will tell. I think the Herm Edwards decision is a good decision. If I was an Arizona State fan, I'd be happy about it.
Yeah. Okay. Who else are you going
to
get?
All right. Well, let's stay in college football. There's a lot to talk about in college football right now. The Heisman Trophy is going to be handed out this Saturday. Is that right?
Yes.
So this Saturday, I don't remember a more clear-cut winner than we're going to have this year. Do you?
I'm assuming you're talking about Baker Mayfield.
It's going to be Baker Mayfield. I mean, look at the statistics. Yeah.
It's not even close.
It's not even close to Lamar Jackson or Bryce Love, really, statistically. And he's
in the playoffs.
Final four team. Right. So, like, if Lamar Jackson had better stats, like slightly better stats, but Baker Mayfield's on a better team, well, then it starts to be, I don't know, are they going to go with the guy on the winning team, or are they going to go? The fact that Baker Mayfield's stats are better than everybody's, and he's on a Final Four team,
right?
It's a slam dunk.
This is as clear cut of a winner as I ever remember.
Yeah,
I mean, if I had extra money,
yeah,
I would put it all. I'd go to Vegas and put it all on Mayfield to win it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the odds are.
Yeah, but
they might not even take the bet. I don't even know.
It's that clear cut of a
yeah,
thing.
I think so.
I mean, it's a slam dunk, right? You can't miss this.
No, I mean, I was looking at the numbers in preparation for the show, just to try to make an argument for somebody else. And in the past, you could make arguments. Yeah. There's always like a running back at Western Michigan that's, you know what I mean, or something, like San Diego State or something like that.
1,800 yards.
Yeah, like, hey, touchdowns. Man. But there's just no argument for anybody except for Baker Mayfield.
He's a stud. And the eye test, I mean, I know Jackson is more flashy, but the best quarterback in college football right now is Baker Mayfield, without question.
Yeah, I was looking at I was watching SportsCenter, I think it was this morning, and it was Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, and they were talking about the top five quarterbacks that could be going into the draft next year. Mel Kiper, Baker Mayfield, very athletic, very aware, knows what he's doing, very, very, very good player, and they had their top five. Baker Mayfield, I think, was third.
What?
For NFL prospects.
Okay.
So Rosen from UCLA was one.
Okay.
Number two was the kid from USC, and I'm totally blanking on his name. And then Mayfield, I think, was three. And then there's two other guys that I don't remember. And I just remember looking at the list, thinking to myself, I think it's easier to look like a good quarterback in the Big 12 or the Pac-12 than it is in the SEC or the Big 10.
Yeah.
Or the ACC, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't you think so?
Yeah.
Like, they were talking about how, it's decision-making and all this stuff, and he can make all the throws. I'm like, I think there are some quarterbacks from the SEC and the Big 12. Like, that Auburn quarterback's really good.
Yeah.
And if you put him back in one of those situations, he would have better numbers.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, far be it from me to disagree with Todd McShay.
Well, all those guys are, he's 6'6". He's got a cannon arm. Yeah. He can do this.
He's got
this,
all the tools, all this.
Well, listen, I don't care. Like, on the field, what you just look across the board.
Yeah.
If I'm the Cleveland Browns, well, that's a horrible example. The Bengals.
Bengals.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I'm the Bengals, I want Baker Mayfield. Out of anybody.
I don't know. Baker Mayfield just looks like another version of Johnny Manziel to me. And
I think he's better than Johnny Manziel. He's not a head case either. He's a fighter. Listen, I hate Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say that.
What's the best case scenario for Baker? Give me the parallel. Quarterback in history. I've got one in my brain that I think is the best case parallel quarterback scenario.
He's not going to have the same success level, but he's a gunslinger similar to Brett Favre.
But he doesn't have the tools that he doesn't have the arm that Brett Favre has.
No, nobody does. Brett Favre could.
Yeah, but there are other guys with big arms like Cutler ball. And I don't think Favre is a good comparison. I'm talking about the way he plays.
I don't know.
Not a mentality.
He's a little flighty. He kind of moves around,
I've got him as a Doug Flutie.
Oh, no. He's better than Flutie.
Well, I feel like Flutie never got a fair shot at it in the NFL.
I don't know. I think you're underestimating what Baker Mayfield could do.
I don't know.
I believe in Baker Mayfield.
Isn't he a junior? I think he is. I think he could opt out and go for a senior.
I think he might be a senior. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Well, So that's the Heisman. So the other thing in college football right now, obviously that's the big thing, is the playoffs. So the playoffs have been set.
Playoffs.
And it is first round Clemson, Alabama, which those are the best two teams, I think, in it. And then and then on the other side, it's Oklahoma and Georgia. So there's two SEC teams. Georgia was the conference winner. They were the slam dunk. Everybody knew it was going to be Clemson, Oklahoma, and Georgia, and then that fourth team is what nobody knew. And, well, I say nobody knew, but everybody that I saw predicted. I was reading lots of prediction things. Everybody that I saw predicting said that Ohio State was going to get it because Ohio State beat the undefeated Wisconsin, Big Ten champions.
Everybody but me.
And they did not give it to them. It was going to
be Alabama. They only had one loss.
Here's the problem. Look at Alabama's schedule right now.
It doesn't matter.
What is their best win?
Listen, you compare because it's deserving or best.
Yeah.
You play Alabama against Ohio State, mm-hmm. Alabama wins today.
I believe that.
Alabama's a better team.
Yeah.
I don't know why anybody.
Well, I think it's the
most deserving. You can say, well, you didn't win your conference. Ohio State did win their conference.
Yeah.
So Ohio State deserves to go. I think by that strategy, USC deserves to go too.
I think if it's deserving, if you're just talking about Ohio State versus Alabama, right? If you've decided that these are the two teams you're talking about, let's get everybody else out of the picture.
Yeah.
If the decision is between Ohio State and Alabama, if the decision is who is the most deserving team, I think it should be Ohio State.
I agree.
If the decision is who is the best team, then I think you have an argument to say that it should be Alabama.
It's Alabama without a doubt.
Well, I feel like Ohio State has shown some flashes of brilliance this year.
And they've also shown flashes of
So I think the top end of Ohio State might be better than the top end of Alabama, but Alabama would probably win because of the consistency.
Yeah.
But I do think Alabama's going to lose to Clemson.
Yeah. It'd be a good game.
Yeah. So that's the college football final. It is what it is. Other people have talked about it. What we want to talk about is the way that the system should be, which is we should be entering into a final 8-team playoff right at this point.
Yes.
5 conference winners. Well, you and I disagree. I say it should be 5 conference winners and 3 at large. You say it should be 8 conference winners.
Yes. The best 8 conference winners, without a doubt.
So this year it would be Clemson, Georgia, Wisconsin, USC, Oklahoma, and then UCF, who's undefeated in whatever conference they're in.
Well, you said Wisconsin. They didn't win the Big Ten.
I'm sorry. What did I say? Oh, Ohio State instead of Wisconsin. So let me say that again because I messed it up. USC, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Georgia
are the 5.
And then your other 3 would be UCF because they're undefeated.
UCF and then 2 others.
And then like Boise State and whatever.
I don't even know. Whoever won the MAC or the WAC, the Big Sky, the Big Conference, USA, whatever. Like whatever the next best 2 or 3 conference. Because that could change year to year.
Yeah.
What throws a hiccup in it a little bit is Notre Dame, but it's time for Notre Dame just to join a conference. I think everybody would agree with that.
I don't think everybody agrees with that.
Join a conference.
I don't agree with that.
They did it in basketball.
I like the fact that they're non-conference.
Yeah, well, things are changing. Mm-hmm. And the conference will mean something very, very soon. The college football players are moving to a conference champion system of somehow.
So in your system where it was all conference championship, potentially it's a 16-team playoff.
Well, if you count the conference.
Because the conference championships would kind of be part of it.
So like Ohio State and Wisconsin would play. Only mm-hmm. one of them would get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So that game would be a playoff.
Yeah.
Auburn and Georgia would play.
Then you only figure one of them first, would make it. Then you have incentive to be one of the best 3 teams because you're going to play the best 3 teams are going to play.
The Cupcakes. Right. So whoever won the MAC is mm-hmm. going to end up playing Clemson.
Right.
Well, that's an advantage to being the best team because you're going to play a cupcake week 1 of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But you have a huge Cinderella story if one of those cupcake teams, like last year or 2 years ago, Western Michigan was undefeated.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And they won their bowl game.
Yeah.
Finished the year undefeated.
Yeah.
They don't even have a chance.
Yeah.
They don't even have a chance.
Same thing as UCF.
But even at the at-large, Western Michigan still want to have a chance.
But you, in the at-large system, UCF would get in, I think.
Well, this year, UCF would get in.
Yeah.
Because I think they beat Florida State. I know Florida State lost their quarterback and some other stuff, but
sure.
They have some wins on their schedule that look good.
Yeah.
I don't know if whoever won the MAC looks good.
Well, I like 5 conference winners, 3 at large.
Okay. Listen, I'll settle for that because I think that's better than what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think only conference champions would be the way to go. And here's the thing. How many conferences are there? Like 12?
Something like
16?
That.
16? I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's just make it conference champions.
All the conference champions
then
go into a playoff.
A 16-team playoff with only conference champions.
Then what's to stop like Texas A&M to say, we're going to join Conference USA?
Do it. I like it.
Yeah.
Mix it up, man.
I don't like that. Well, if it was my system, the final 8 would be Clemson, most likely. Clemson playing UCF. Alabama playing Ohio State, USC playing Oklahoma, and Wisconsin playing Georgia. That would be your 18 playoff.
With your five conference champions and three at large.
Yeah, the three at large would be UCF, Alabama, and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you could make an argument for somebody other than Wisconsin. I guess. Listen,
if you're arguing teams 7 and 8, that's good. Because you're not arguing teams 1, 2, and 3.
Right. We used to be arguing teams 1, like
1 and 2.
Yeah, or 2 and 3. Like, who deserves.
Right.
Then that's like.
Right now, we're arguing between 4 and 5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which you're right on the line of whatever. Right. The truth is, if you're the fourth or fifth best team in the nation,
yeah,
then you're not considered 1 or 2. Now, the playoff can change the outlook on that, but
does part of you just want to go way back to the old system, like
just bowls,
that the Rose Bowl is always the Pac-12 against the Big Ten? And
I like it.
Part of me likes that. Yeah. And then at the end, all the different polls can rate whatever they want to rate. Coaches poll, AP poll.
One time they were considering like a plus one, like let it ride out normal.
Yeah.
And then after all the bowl games, your traditional like Rose Bowl, Big Ten, you know, Big 12, whatever. Yeah. Then a plus one. You take the best two after all the bowl games.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I just like the bowl games. I like the Big 10 playing the Pac 12 or Pac 10 or whatever they are now. Herm Edwards, by the way, calls them the Pacific. He's like, we're gonna bring something to the Pacific 12. And I'm like, okay, all right. so that's that. But either way, I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good. And Ohio State's playing USC in the Cotton Bowl. So, by the way, come on, man. Play that in the Rose Bowl. Like, if Ohio State is playing USC in a bowl game, they should be playing in the Rose Bowl.
Although, it's a huge advantage to USC.
I don't care. It's that's a Rose Bowl game.
It is a Rose Bowl game. And it's the winner of the Big Ten and the winner of the Pac-10.
I know.
Yeah.
It should be the Rose Bowl.
Should be.
But they're going to play in the Cotton Bowl, which is Texas. Yeah. Is that what that is? I don't know. Whatever. All right, what else do you want to talk about, Jason?
Well. Rafael Palmeiro.
So he's 53 years old.
Yeah.
And he wants to come back to Major League Baseball.
I think he can do it.
You think he can do it?
So there's a lot of really bad baseball teams.
Okay.
And if your goal is to come out, make a roster, and there's some teams out there. I don't even know.
Let me ask you a question.
An American League team that stinks. They've got nothing else going for them. You know what? You're going to get publicity. You'll get press.
Not that much.
You'll get a little bit.
I mean, if it was Barry Bonds, but Rafael
Barry Bonds has actually talked about coming back too.
Now that's a different discussion. He's the best hitter I've ever seen. Palmeiro, it'll be interesting for like the first week, and then people will forget about it. And then
unless he's hitting 400.
Well, okay, sure. If you're a team that stinks, you don't have any incentive to bring him in, because if we're going to stink anyway, I'd rather bring a guy in and let him, you know, have a year of experience against major league hitting, so that way when we're potentially good, he's got experience.
Yeah, I would do it. I'd just try it out. What does it hurt you? You're going to lose anyways. There's teams, you know, like we knew this year, we knew 100% the Reds were going to win 60 games and lose 100 games.
Yeah.
We knew this.
Yeah.
We knew it.
Yeah.
So what does it hurt you?
Well, what it hurts you is the experience you're taking away from a young player. That's what it hurts you.
You sign him for a minimum deal. You pay him $100,000 a year, and which is a fraction of what you pay
And every bonus. At-bat, he is taking an at-bat away from a guy who needs that experience.
If it works out, it's an awesome story.
What does work out? So best case scenario, he hits 400 and you still stink because it's just one guy.
It's a fun story.
They don't care about fun stories. They care about winning.
They're not winning it. If they cared about winning, they would do something. They stink.
What they're doing is giving experience to the younger guys so that they can win in the future. That's never winning. At least you're thinking about the future by not bringing him in. The only reason a team brings him in is if he is actually good, and you're like the Yankees or the Red Sox or somebody and so you listen. Say, okay, we're going to bring him in, and just because what's the most he's going to be around for? He's 53 years old. He's an AARP member.
It's a one-year contract.
Yeah.
Okay, so listen, is it worth, because I know the answer for me, is it worth an invitation to spring training?
For a good team, yes.
Okay. I'm okay with this. I think I agree. It's worth an invitation to spring training.
I agree with that.
Now, if it doesn't make out of spring training, then don't sign him.
Sure.
I'm okay with that, too. Mm-hmm. But I think it's absurd to not look at anybody.
Yeah.
Rafael Palmeiro has 3,000 hits and 500 home runs. And yeah. I know that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
When last he was good.
Yeah.
But you know what?
PEDs might have helped with some of those home runs.
A little bit.
I think no matter what, he was going to be a 3,000 hit guy.
Yeah.
I think the 500 home run thing would not have happened if he hadn't jacked up.
No, he was like a doubles guy.
Yeah, because if you look at him earlier in his career.
Yeah.
He was a doubles guy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, oh boy. Well, you know
what? His big thing right now is this. He's watching these guys, and he said these guys are either hitting home runs or they're striking out.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's just hitting the ball.
Well, that's the,
That's the nature of the game right now.
Yeah.
But things always go in waves, and it will come back around because it just, everything does. Here's a guy who wants to come in and just hit the ball, not hit a home run. He's not going to be swinging for the fences.
Every year that you get older, I was talking to a friend of mine who's, I think in his mid-40s, something like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, he goes, man, Dan, there's something about getting older. Like, he said, I used to always take for granted my eyesight. He said, I always had good eyesight.
Yeah.
And he goes, I just noticed the other day it's starting to go. Like, I'm starting to lose it, you know? Like, 53, I mean, that's a little past your prime.
How late did Pete Rose play?
I don't know.
Now, it was continuous.
Yeah.
But it was, like, mid-40s.
Yeah. But the fact that it was continuous helps.
Yeah.
And every year that he played, he got worse. And he was Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Better than Rafael Palmeiro.
Yes, yeah.
So a 53-year-old Rafael, I mean, I'd be shocked. I'd be blown away if Rafael
Palmeiro. So Ichiro's like 43, I think.
Okay.
43, 44.
Yeah.
And he's a stud.
Well, yeah, and he's 10 years younger. He's
10 years younger, yeah.
And
Ichiro's got, who knows?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Ichiro doesn't have 10 more years in him.
No. Ichiro, as good as Ichiro is, he gets worse every year.
Yeah.
Because that's the nature of it. Once you hit 34, 35. But the
worse Ichiro batting 280.
Yeah.
That is still like on par with anybody else.
Right. It's right. But it's not worth like sacrificing your future for. And that's Ichiro at like whatever. Let's say he's 43, right?
Yeah.
And he seems like an ageless guy anyway.
Yeah.
You know, he seems like an aberration. I see no way. I think it's a total publicity stunt. Rafael Palmeiro seems to be fairly insecure. Did you ever watch that? It's not a 30 for 30, but they had these other documentaries called SEC Storied. Have you ever seen those?
No.
It's an ESPN documentary. It feels like 30 for 30. There's one about him at Texas A&M with Will Clark. They played on the same team.
Okay.
They call them Thunder and Lightning.
Yeah.
Palmeiro was Lightning and Will Clark was Thunder. And anyway, they ended up not being friends later in life because Will Clark criticized them for his steroid use. And it was a pretty interesting documentary.
Yeah.
But in it, like, Palmeiro seems super insecure.
Yeah.
Like, and I just think that this is just part of his insecurity. He's not going to be in the Hall of Fame because of the steroid use. And I think that this is just him trying to, like,
Well, the clock would start again.
Start the clock again on his Hall of Fame induction. Give him 5 more years, people to think about it. You know, because they're going to let other steroid guys in eventually. You can't keep Barry Bonds out forever.
Yeah. I know. I'm a put everybody in guy.
I agree.
And it's a history museum. And I'll put it on the plaque. Put Pete Rose in.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Rose gambled on baseball and was kicked out.
Yeah.
Never to be in baseball ever again.
Yeah.
You know, why should he not be in the Hall of Fame?
It's stupid.
What he did on the field should count.
I agree. All right. Well, we don't have that much going on left sports-wise.
The Cavs are on a 13-game winning streak.
Yeah, that's pretty much the last thing. So the Cavs are streaking. Did you watch any of the game last night?
I did. I actually watched the whole second half.
Yeah, they were down, I think, at halftime.
I think
they might have been down at halftime.
In the fourth quarter, they were down by two or four at one point.
So then late in the game, last two scores, I think, of the Cavs, the game is tied.
Yeah.
And LeBron has the ball at the top of the key.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's what I say to myself. I'm thinking, don't shoot the three, man. Don't shoot the three.
Yeah.
And he's doing that dribbling thing kind of back. But then he drives and he scores the two. I'm like, thank you, of course, because you could do that every single time.
Yeah, but six other times he launched the three.
Well, and then later, the next play, they stop the Kings. And then the next play, he shoots the three and he makes it.
Yeah.
Which his three-point percentage this year is higher than it's ever been.
He's getting better.
He is getting better at that. Here's my
thought. Mm-hmm. When there's 5 seconds left on the game clock, and the ball's at the one end of the court, and you got to get it all the way up there,
yeah,
and shoot. You get like two passes, two or three dribbles, and a shot.
Yeah.
Within 5 seconds. When you see LeBron at the top of the key and the play clock is down about 5 seconds,
mm-hmm.
he hesitates and holds it and holds
it. He knows what he's doing.
And then he launches a three.
But I think he's goading his defender to come up on him. Like, to come up and stop me, you know, from shooting this three. Because if that defender gives him an inch, he can burst around him.
Right. And until this year, they let him take that shot because he misses more than he makes.
Well, maybe they'll stop letting him take the shot if he keeps on making them.
I don't know. It's fun.
So the question is, they're on a 13-game winning streak. They are the hottest team in basketball right now. You could argue they're not the best. I understand that. But they're the hottest team in basketball right now. What happens when Isaiah comes back? Basketball's a weird thing. It's chemistry. It's not necessarily addition by addition or subtraction by whatever. It's a weird thing. It's not a slam dunk that, like, immediately they're that much better.
There will be an adjustment period.
Yeah.
But when they asked LeBron about it last night or two nights ago, he said he kind of paused for a second. He's like, well, you know, I've been working this out. I've been playing a lot of 2K18,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to work on the best lineup and trying to figure out exactly how this is going to work. And I love it because he goes like NBA 2K18 is like the most realistic game ever for basketball.
It's ridiculous at first. Like when I first heard that, I was like, all right, whatever. But the more I thought about it, more I thought, I don't know. I mean, these games, they put a ton of like algorithms and I mean, there's a lot going on in these games to keep them very legit. I just listened to an ESPN 30 for 30 podcast about the history of Madden.
Yes.
You should listen to it. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
And just talking about how, like, when in 1984 was when the guy from EA Sports, who was an Apple company at the time, met with John Madden to talk to him about doing a football game.
Right.
And when they sat down to talk about it, John Madden started bringing stuff up, and the guy said, well, here's the problem. Like, computing-wise, we can't do 12-on-12.
Right.
We'll have to start off 7-on-7.
11-on-11.
What did I say?
12-on-12.
Oh, 11-on-11, yeah. He goes, we can't do 11-on-11. He said, we don't have the computing power for that. You know, he said, we have to start off 7-on-7. And John Madden said, well, that's not football, and I don't want my name on it.
Yeah.
He goes, it's 11-on-11, or it's not at all.
Yeah.
And so he said, well, let me think about it. Let me try to figure it out, you know. And then they come back like 4 years. I think 88 was the first official like year that I'm at. It was just a computer game. There was no console for it. And the guy said he wanted to meet with John Madden, he told John Madden, come up with can you give us 100 plays?
Yeah.
We need 100 plays. And he showed up, and John Madden gave him the 1980 Los Angeles Rams playbook.
I love it.
And he's like, here, take everything from that. And it was like hundreds of plays.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's how it started. But then they just talked about just year after year, adding all of these different elements.
Right.
How when the game, like in the early 90s, had like 10 measurements per player.
Right.
Speed, strength, awareness, or whatever. And now there are literally like hundreds of different things.
Yeah.
And like 2 years ago, there's this player, I think for the Steelers, that got a touchdown. And they quoted him, or they played a little clip from him. And he caught the ball and then ran it all the way. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, like 80 yards or something. And they asked him, they said, boy, when you were running down the field, what were you thinking? He goes, honestly, he goes, I assumed that I was going to get caught because my speed on Madden's like 82. That was, and he was like, you know, he's like, maybe they need to up that. You know, like he was like, that is how much this game has affected the everything, is that while an NFL player is running down the field, he's thinking about his NFL Madden rating.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, the NBA 2K is the same thing.
And the NBA 2K guys is the same
thing.
All those
guys are upset. Yeah. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean this is my speed or strength or three-point shot? I'm better than that.
And not just that, but just the way the game is played. So for LeBron to say that, my first reaction is, man, that's ridiculous. But the more I think about it, the more I think, you know what? That's probably as good a way to workshop it as anything.
Yeah, I think all the players, like, in the locker room should be themselves, mm-hmm. like, on the controller, mm-hmm. on their own TVs. And, like, how cool would that be?
It might not be the worst way to figure some stuff out. I don't know. Maybe.
You get a lot of gameplay in. A lot of shots.
Not a lot of exercise.
No.
So, do you feel like Isaiah
It helps them in the long run.
Yeah.
They're going to lose games up front with Isaiah.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. But I'm telling you, Isaiah, I mean, you and I have gone back and forth on this. Isaiah's pretty good.
I got to watch it. I'm not on the Isaiah train yet.
Not Kyrie.
I'm at the train station, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I bought a ticket, but I'm watching that train. I'm just waiting, and I'm just thinking, do I want to get on that train?
Here, okay, absolutely.
Is that train going to crash?
100%. They are better with Isaiah Thomas.
Is the conductor drinking? You know, like,
maybe.
These are the kind of questions that I'm asking myself.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm at the train station. Before I get on the train.
It's very rare that trains crash. If it was a plane analogy, then that's a whole different thing.
All right. That's
you crash a plane, you're dead.
Maybe it's a Murder on the Orient Express situation. You know, I don't want to get on that train. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. All right. Well,
what's your Netflix suggestion of the week?
Netflix. Oh, wait a minute. Well, we're a little. I haven't queued up the Netflix.
I'm trying to speed this through. I mean, we've got some stuff. I'm
what?
Busy. I've got a lot of stuff going on today.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I got stuff going on, too. Do you ever think about that?
You don't.
You're right. Whoops. Well, apparently, I've lost my connection to our...
How embarrassing.
How embarrassing.
I mean, that was...
Netflix, watch these shows with us. Netflix, Netflix, maybe Hulu Plus.
We're never going to get paid. Amateur hour. I don't know what you're doing over there.
I don't know what I'm doing. My bad.
One job. Listen, and it's to play the jingles.
Well, first of all, I don't have one job. I'm also talking.
That's like half of
what
the
is
job.
Your one job?
Well, I did show prep. I also did all of the technical specs before.
Well, I drove the kids to school. That was what I was doing. Gosh. All right. So, do you want to go with your Netflix suggestion
of
the week?
Guardians of the Galaxy number two dose.
Is that on Netflix?
It just came out.
Oh, yeah. On Netflix.
Have you seen it yet?
I have.
Okay. I love it. I love Guardians. I love Marvel. I love all things of this new Marvel wave
tight.
Of characters and stuff. I love it.
Tight.
Star-Lord.
I'm more of a DC guy.
Ugh, so bad.
So bad.
Ben Affleck is Batman? Stop.
Could be worse.
No, yes, it could be worse. It's bad. Here's the thing. This is what drives me crazy. DC... 10 years ago, when it was Christian Bale and Heath Ledger, Batman, that was the best Batman movie ever.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. I know Heath Ledger died and that sucks. Mm-hmm. I get it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But they were on the right track.
Yeah.
And I feel like when that Christian Bale series was done, they're done.
Yeah.
They're done. They need to reboot that whole thing.
They did reboot.
I know they're trying to continue it though, like in that storyline. And
no, it's a different storyline.
It's an old Batman. I'm telling you,
they did reboot it.
It's old Batman. Reboot. You got to go back and start when it like Batman Origins and all that stuff. Reboot it from scratch. Honestly, the new Superman, I love.
Superman. Man of Steel. I like it.
I love Man of Steel.
Did you like Batman versus Superman?
Not really. I hate Ben Affleck as Batman. It's so bad.
What do you got against Ben Affleck?
He's a horrible Batman.
I don't think so.
He's absolutely
Here's
horrible.
What I think. I think
in the list of Batmans, he is the worst Batman. Behind who?
George Clooney.
Okay. You got me. George Clooney is the worst Batman.
Then Val Kilmer and Ben Affleck are fighting for it.
Yeah, for the second worst Batman ever.
Christian Bale is the best.
Yes.
Michael Keaton is the second best.
And then Adam West.
Well, Adam West is a different. He's in a different discussion.
We've had the Batman.
We have done this already.
Yeah.
Here's what I say about Ben Affleck as Batman. If you had never seen Ben Affleck before, and you had no reference point for this guy, and he just shows up, and this is your new Batman, you would like it.
I don't think I would.
Because he's Ben Affleck,
okay,
that's
here's
the problem.
Thing. I hated Christian Bale. Like, before Batman, I hated Christian Bale. I'm like, why is Christian Bale Batman? This is so stupid.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, okay, I get it. Christian Bale is a great Batman.
I think Ben Affleck is a bigger star than that. I think he's such a big star. It's like, you can't make Tom Cruise Superman. You can't, like, it's just...
First of all, Tom Cruise is 5'4".
Yeah, they could do stuff. to make him look taller.
Tom Cruise would be the worst Superman ever.
Yes, he would be. My point is that there are some actors that are so big, so and I think Ben Affleck is there, that you just can't make him Batman.
Who would be the worst Superman ever?
The worst Superman ever?
Yes, you get one pick.
David Spade.
Andy Dick.
You win. I was putting down a royal flush, yeah. You know, and then what beats a royal flush?
Nothing.
Oh. I don't know poker. I was putting down a full house,
yeah.
And then you put down a royal flush.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You win. Yes. Slide the chips over.
So Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is yours.
Yes, watch it. It's great.
Okay. My Netflix suggestion of the week is found on Amazon Prime.
Oh my gosh.
Well, no, it's legal. Okay. You can do it. Go to Amazon Prime. There's a set of documentaries made by PBS called American Experience.
Yeah.
And I just watched one on the Greeley Expedition. It's about this guy that went to North Pole in like the, I don't know, 1800s. And it was super interesting. The Greeley Expedition, Amazon Prime, American Experience. Hopefully that's enough for you to find it. That's my Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, whatever else you're watching.
Yeah.
Streaming-wise, suggestion of the week.
Okay. Do you have a podcast spotlight you would like to highlight? Yeah, if you don't, I've got one.
Okay. Well, I've always got some that I could, but we'll do yours.
Okay, so it's the Dan Patrick Show.
Okay.
I love Dan Patrick. I feel like Dan Patrick was... I mean, he was like one of the first guys at ESPN that really took SportsCenter to that next level type of stuff.
Yeah, the Dan Patrick, Keith Olbermann SportsCenter, it's never gotten better than that.
It's the best SportsCenter ever.
Yeah.
And so, I fell in love with Dan Patrick way back then. And I still love Dan Patrick today. He's not Tony Kornheiser. Nobody is. Right? Tony's my favorite.
Yeah, I love Tony Kornheiser.
But he's not mm-hmm. SportsCenter guy. Dan Patrick is. But Dan Patrick's... podcast is actually pretty good. His radio show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's good. They got the whole, you know, Dan and the Danettes thing going on, and they got a whole culture.
Yeah.
It's funny. I like it. Yeah.
It's solid stuff.
It's as good. It's as good as it gets.
Here's the, I'm done listening to the radio.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm done listening
to the radio. I can't do it. Yeah. You know, there's a commercial break every 5 minutes.
And then when they come back, they just reset what they were just talking about.
That's right.
It's, yeah.
For 7 more minutes, and then they cut for 5 more minutes away. Yeah. It's awful.
And then in the next hour, they're going to talk about the same thing over again.
That's
because,
right.
Well, that was the last hour. That's the old way to do it.
Right.
The old way to do it is every hour new people are listening, so you can just talk about the same things over and over again.
Right.
We've moved on as a culture.
Yeah. So Dan Patrick's show has a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to it.
I like Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
I feel like I would want to be friends with Dan Patrick.
I think Dan Patrick, if everything worked out, would be a great person to do stuff with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cross stuff over.
Hey, we could be on Dan Patrick. He's got a podcast network. I forget what it's called.
Podcast One?
Maybe that's it. But I think it's his network.
Yeah.
You know, because I think a couple of his guys have a podcast on it. Maybe
we should get on it.
Yeah. Dan, you know.
Maybe Dan Patrick would want to join Lower Road Radio Network.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
I don't know. I mean, we couldn't even get Johnny Mettis to join our network. He's a stockholder.
He is a stockholder. That's true. All right. Well, do you have anything else? I think we've checked all our boxes for the day.
No, I think if you end in the next 60 seconds, we will have gone exactly 1 hour.
Really?
I looked at the clock before we started, and right now we're at 59 minutes.
That's not normal.
I think it, 1 hour, that's absurd.
Well, that's what we're going for.
We're actually trying to shoot for 1 hour.
We say we're going for 40 minutes, yeah, but that never happens.
That's never
going
to happen.
All right. Sounds good. I'm happy if you're happy.
1 hour. So we got to drag this out another 45 seconds.
45 seconds. Well, go to SoundCloud, find David Killed the Giant, the artist. It's our friend of the show, listener of the show, and listen to this song called Relapse. It's good. This is Dan signing off for Jason, reminding you to keep your stick on the ice. And never wear the blue sweats. Don't you lie to me. Don't you forget that you're always behind me. You pose as a brother, but you are the enemy. Say you're a friend, but you're never a friend to me. I can see all your identities. See through the lies that you said to me. I don't have the time or the energy. I can see you are the enemy. I can see through your facade.
left you nothing but memories. You are but dead to me, what?
I cannot see what it is that you want me to see. I cannot be what it is that you want me to be. I cannot win all these things that are still in my past. I cannot deal with myself.